Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Yes, I am a mom, and I love my children as all parents do, but we have all been seeing recently the heartbreaking pictures and heard the cries of immigrant children being separated from their parents, and some of us don't know how to help. We don't know what to do or who to look to, but we're going to get some information now about what this really can do to children and the devastating effects it can have long term for children when they're separated from their parents. My guest is Dr. Janine Young. She's a pediatrician and she's a medical director of one of four refugee clinics in Colorado, and she's on the board of the Colorado chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Young, welcome to the show. Tell us, what's happening to these children? Fill in the gap for those of us that really don't know what's going on in these detention centers. They think that they're better for children. Some people even have the opinion that, wow, they're getting three squares a day when they weren't getting that before. But what is it like? Educate us on what these conditions are like for children in ICE custody.
Melanie, thank you so much for that introduction. And I agree with you. It's Frankly, we as pediatricians and the rest of the country and parents have been horrified at what we've been hearing and seeing and reading. What we do know is that children experience something called toxic stress. It's been well studied. And what it has to do with is the idea of the fight or flight response that we all have. Like, for example, when I touch a hot stove, right? So I have a fight or flight response when my cortisol in my body goes through the roof, my epinephrine goes high, my heart rate goes up, my blood pressure goes up, and I take my hand off that stove so that there's a quick response to a toxic environment. This is the kid's response, but prolonged. I can't underscore the fact that, or overemphasize the fact that when children as young as infants and older children are being taken away from their parents, who are their protectors and the ultimate source of comfort, and immediately taken away, that that fight or flight response continues over months. And we know from research, from Centers for Disease Control has done studies, many studies have come out over this past couple of decades, that there is an association between this chronic fight or flight response and long-term outcomes, negative outcomes such as diabetes, cancer, increased rates of suicide, no great surprise there, depression, not a great surprise. So those are the chronic outcomes, and our government has sponsored this and removed 2,300 children from their parents. The other part of this is the short-term effects that we also know, frankly, is child abuse. You remove kids from their parents, and this is institutional removal. And we know that President Trump just rescinded this order yesterday, but we still have 2,300 children who are not reunited with their parents, nor do we know how they're going to be reunited and how they're even tracking where parents have been sent. Some of them have been already deported. So short-term, children regress. If they were potty trained, they start wetting again. I have seen in working with traumatized children who are unaccompanied refugee minors, who are kids who are brought here legally by themselves because of tragic, horrific conditions and parents who've been killed, young children stop talking. It's unclear if their developmental delays are acute or long-term response. And no one's going to study this. There's no systematic study looking at from chronic deprivation of a certain type what would happen. But we do know from literature from orphanages where there's deprivation. This has been done internationally. From foster care kids who are switched to multiple different foster care situations, that they also experience toxic stress. This, as a pediatrician, as a spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics, the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, Colleen Kraft, has come out as well, stating emphatically that this is not acceptable treatment of innocent children, period.
So, Dr. Young, we've all heard and we learned in school about the internment camps, and you see these families of Japanese and Asian families, but they were together, and it was still stressful because they were pulled out of whatever situation. As a pediatrician, you've given us very good information about the stressors placed on these kids being separated. Do you think that there's a difference, like infants, you know, don't really remember some of this, but the toddlers or the tweens, when you talk about depression, suicide, and then there's the teens, you know, do you think that we're going to see a difference in the way that these affect their health? If you're a toddler being pulled away or, infants, they don't kind of remember, do they?
They actually do. I mean, the studies, I mean, infants, there's lots of studies about actually in utero stress of a mom who's pregnant who's stressed and the effect on the baby in utero and then after birth. And so you talk about two things. One is if an infant is taken, there's stress all around the infant. The infant doesn't have a nurturing parent. So we would assume that those same studies apply in this case. And again, no one's going to do a study looking at this and comparing and contrasting. It's completely unethical. And this is completely unethical anyway. But you also mentioned these internment camps, the Japanese internment camps from
our shameful past.
History.
Yeah.
Yes. And that we sat and watched. So the parents are stressed and the kids feel this. And I see this with refugee arrivals. We have young children. I see young infants brought over from fleeing from persecution and war as refugees. And I see a lot of developmental delay. Do we know that it's directly caused from, you know, whatever these stressors were? Again, no one's going to study, well, if it's being shot at or having your uncle killed in front of you, et cetera. No one's going to look at how much stress you need to have developmental delay. But the parents are incredibly stressed.
Sure they are.
And children very young children feel this. Infants feel this. We know this ourselves. In my, you know, idealistic life in the United States, when, you know, my kids were young and I took care of them, and if there was something stressful, I think my kids probably knew, right? And we try
to. Well, they do say that, right? Kids pick up on that stress of their parents, and they do. So
yes.
I see that, and you're so right about it. Now, you know, when people say, well, why are they coming here, and you are part of a refugee clinic, you know that they're making that choice between what might be the unknown here and the horrific conditions that they've got at home, right? I mean, they're making
Correct.
A terrible decision.
Yes. So let's flip this around, because I do this a lot in my job. So I run a refugee clinic. I see unaccompanied refugee minors. I see families from all over the world who have fled horrific conflict in Syria, in Sudan, Somalia. I can go on and on. So let's flip this and say that I was in that situation. If I was in Syria with my family, and my goal was to protect my children, I would flee as well. And so people are, the people, frankly, who make it here, in my experience, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years, they're the survivors. They are the ones who've been able to, against all circumstances, been able to get here and survive and get their family here. And what they're looking for is school for their children, a house with a roof, food, health care, just basics, clothing, shelter, and I would do the exact same thing if I had to be in that situation. Frankly, I don't know if I would be able to survive it.
The people
I see here, the people I see here are survivors. They
strong.
Value school so much. The kids are so excited to be in an environment where they have a routine, because this is the other part of this, is when you are fleeing, you have no routine, and routine is key for children to not be anxious, to know what's going to be happening, and for parents, frankly, and that is all turned on its head. And I think, again, one of the things that you brought up is, you know, children don't choose to come to our country. They are not criminals, and parents aren't criminals either. They are fleeing, and they're fleeing to find a better situation so that they can survive. You know, I see also in our health center families who make it across the border from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. And this is, you know, the Northern Triangle countries that are all in the news. And this is where, you know, President Trump has separated children from kids from these countries. These three countries have the top homicide rates in the world, have the lowest gross domestic product per person in the world, one of the lowest. And these people are fleeing gang violence. And I have had families whose parents, you know, a parent has been killed by gangs, brothers, I've had young women who've been raped who come here, and I don't blame them at all. In fact, I think that we have a very serious situation on our hand, where we have the highest number of displaced people in the world since post-World War II.
Wow. And we, you know what? We are a nation of immigrants, and we always have been. It's one of the main strengths of our nation is that ability to be this melting pot, and people are putting their memes on and showing the Statue of Liberty, you know, the Statue of Liberty, give us your tired, your poor, all of these things. What do you want, Dr. Young? First of all, tell us the AAP's policy, you know, as far as that families should be kept together, and are they lobbying in Washington? Tell us what AAP is up to right now, and then give us your own opinion on how you think it might be able to be handled.
So, you know, the AAP has been doing an incredible amount of work at the federal level in Washington, D.C. We have a very vibrant community of pediatricians, AAP members all across the country who are part of an immigrant special interest group. And the number of postings that have been coming up on this listserv in the past 2 months have been incredible, with people posting experiences in different states, asking questions. We have a colleague right on the front lines in McAllen, Texas, who's really been the sentinel for telling us what is happening immediately before we even hear it on the news. So that has been incredibly impressive and supportive for us as a pediatric community, because there is something called vicarious trauma, which is, as a pediatrician, I've been trained to provide care, health care, for my patients and the population in my community. And when I am seeing patients and families come in crying, worried that they can't get into the country, worried that their sister can't cross, or that someone, I've had fathers and mothers been detained and children left alone. I mean, this has been going on even, unfortunately, before Trump. The separation was Trump's idea. The detention and deportation has been going on before.
But the prosecuting wasn't going on before, right? They weren't being prosecuted as criminals and the separation.
They were not being they were not being prosecuted as criminals, but they were being detained and deported, and we had family separations. I mean, this is a larger issue that our country needs to grapple with. You know, is this a nation where, as you said, we're a country of immigrants, except for our Native American population? My grandparents are immigrants, and what direction are we going as a nation? Are we going to sit back and say that we will no longer allow all comers who have real claims for, victims of torture, death threats from gangs, that these are legal rights in our law, that's written in our law, to allow for people to come to this country? Are we just going to turn it on its head and say we're not going to do this anymore, and we're going to close our borders, put up a wall, and only allow, quote-unquote, skilled people from Norway to come in? I don't think most Norwegians, frankly, want to come right now. I think that we really as a nation need to look at how we treat our children, because how we treat our children is really indicative of our moral fiber. And right now, it's quite concerning where we are.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydralyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydralyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydralyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydralyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. Dr. Young, we've learned as parents, when you're studying up on being a parent and you talk to your pediatrician, that words, we learn things that even what you say to your children when they're little can have lifelong effects. If you say, you're not a good person, or you're being a bad kid, or any of those words can have these unbelievable effects. And as a mom,
absolutely,
I would try and make myself hear what I would say before I would say it when my kids were little and misbehaving, because I didn't want to say anything that would stick in their brain as something that made them feel less than worthy. And
absolutely,
these kids are not getting that. What would you like the listeners to know about maybe what we can do? What can we do? We can march. We can donate. What else? What do you see that we can possibly do to help the situation?
Well, I mean, I can say sort of systematically what, frankly, that the focus needs to be on getting more judges trained and more immigration lawyers trained, and frankly, more physicians and psychologists and psychiatrists trained to do medical and psychological forensic exams, so that there's a partnership, legal medical partnership, and allowing for just adjudication for kids and parents who are coming in with real claims that are legal rights to stay in the United States. Because what's happening right now is they have someone who just talks to them at the border who's not trained. They say, I think I'm going to be killed. And they're like, yeah, too bad, sorry, and they're sending them right back. They're not getting access to a lawyer. So we know that this needs to change, and I think that is incredibly important. I think the other thing is even with this decision to not separate families, which is incredibly important, the backfall on the the, how do I say this, the decision instead is to just keep kids and parents together in chronic detention in places like Walmart. That you, I think a lot of people have read that there was a former Walmart that is being used as a shelter. This is not an appropriate place for a child to be in detention, in a prison, frankly. And this also causes, getting back to the idea of toxic stress, the kids and the parents need to be released. It's fine if they're monitored, you know, whatever needs to happen in terms of that, but allow them to be with other family members who are here living in a house, going to school as the their evaluations are appropriately adjudicated. If it's thus determined that they're after very good legal representation and evaluation, that there are going to be some claims that are not real, then that's fine, and those families then get deported. But there are many, many, many more that do have legal right to stay, and they really need to be able to stay in the country.
Well, that's one of the things, is they're not necessarily separating out asylum seekers from just people that are trying to come here, and much less the fact that so many people that seem to be against this still want to be able to buy an avocado or an orange. And I'm telling you, the restaurant industry is going to suffer, and the, you know, obviously the agriculture industry is going to suffer. And so it seems to me just sad all the way around. Let's wrap it up, Dr. Young. This is an emotional issue. It's upsetting to all of us. It's upsetting to moms. We see these pictures, that one little girl. It's hard to even look at it. And with what's happening in our country today, but our teens are rising up from Parkland. They're using their voice. We want to use ours too. And I just want to say this before you wrap this up for me. When Barack Obama made a quote that said, "We've been waiting for you. We've got your backs." I'm wondering if some of what's going to change is going to take longer than we would like, but it's going to happen in the next generation of these very strong children. It's all about the children. And AAP is all about the children. And we're seeing two sides, you know, children that are strong and fighting for themselves, and seeing children that can't fight for themselves. That's probably what I was trying to get to in my long description. So you tell us what you would like us to know about the health of children that are being separated, and give us a little hope of what the AAP is really up to.
So, I mean, the AAP, I have to say the national office and the federal office in D.C. have, the core group of folks there have been incredible in keeping all of the pediatricians as who are members of the AAP informed. And I think that they're starting to actually inform in more public ways. We've had across the country, I'd say probably about, at this point, last count I saw was about 35 op-ed pieces written by pediatricians across the country into popular newspapers and local newspapers and magazines. We've had pediatricians going on national news with CNN, local news with Telemundo and Univision, trying to keep people informed. I'm seeing much more of a group effort of people really coming together. And I think, you know, the question is for folks who are not, you know, in the AAP, because you're not pediatricians, you're moms and you're important, is to get your voice heard, is also to write op-eds, to learn about rallies. I think bringing more people together who are like-minded and showing our support is helpful. I think you're right, Melanie, about the fact that our next generation who is witnessing all of this will hopefully be incredibly active and change our policies. We're fighting the good fight, and I'm not giving up. I surround myself with other like-minded people to try to stay sane and to try to move forward. And that's all. I don't know if other people have other advice. I'm just one person, but we're all trying to come together.
That's right. You are one person, but we're a community of many. And you pediatricians are to be applauded. You're out there, as you say, fighting the good fight. And the American Academy of Pediatrics is fighting for children. And that's what they do. They are fighting for the health of children everywhere, not even just children that are citizens of this country, but all children. And that's what's so important. And listeners, please share this show with your friends. It's so important to hear what Dr. Young was saying. She's a spokesman for the AAP. She works at refugee clinics and she's a pediatrician. You know, you're getting the information right straight from somebody who knows what's going on. So please share this show. And as she said, get involved, be active, write your senators, write your congressmen, make phone calls, do whatever it is you have to do that helps you to feel that you're helping in your community. And certainly love your own children, because that is one of the best things that we can do. And love the children all around your village, because it does take a village. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children and Radio MD. Thanks so much for listening and stay well.